Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing swell. I hope that the flag football game you coached this morning went well.
Yeah, it did. The Parker Fire, they were blocking well. Won 28-6, so pretty Ooh. Pleased with how they're pulling flags out here this morning at Salisbury Park, Michael.
Wow. So, yeah, you're one of those physical coaches. You're a throwback, the Woody Hayes type guys, I guess.
Hey, you know, it's a rec league, but I still like to bring a little intensity, a little flavor to it, you know, and having the kids fall in love with the game, too, of course. That's the most important part.
That is, and I always say, and I got four generations of my family, I say this, too. The most important thing of a youth coach is give you a chance to fall in love with sports. It can give you a lifetime of joy, more than a professional athlete. The guys who are really good, they get tired because they can't play at the level that satisfies them very long, you know, and so they give up playing ball much earlier than those rec athletes like me. So
right.
We're never very good. Hey, let's look at the Denver Broncos. 7th in total offense, that looks good. 24th in scoring, the only thing that really matters. Who's to blame here?
Well, I think a bit of blame on everyone. Well, first it starts with head coach Nathaniel Hackett. You know, he's come under heat his first 2 weeks now with game management controversies. First, it was the end of the Seattle game, not taking a timeout, electing to go with the 64-yard field goal attempt over trying 4th and 5 and converting and getting the shorter field goal attempt. So there was that. And then last week, more blunders, more just fiascos and not getting the play in smoothly, Michael. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You can tell the Broncos offense, they're rushing into the huddle, they're rushing out of the huddle, and there's a lot of discombobulation going on. So Hackett came under fire last 2 weeks for that. You know, he's taken the blame. He said, hey, we got to have better communication. I need to be more decisive. So it's on him. It's on Russell Wilson. It's on, you know, the O-line a little bit. And then it's also on the running backs. You know, two fumbles down near the goal line, one on 4th and 1 where Melvin was out stretching it, but still. So 0-6 in the red zone, Michael. I mean, that really says it all through the first couple games. They're moving the football pretty well and sometimes at will, but they cannot finish. And as Lloyd Cushenberry told me this week, when we get down there, we got to get 7, not 3, not 0, 7. And it's going to have to be that way on Sunday against the 49ers because they can't be leaving points on the board against San Francisco, or an underdog to this week.
Yeah, yep. And you go from a defensive coach to two defensive coaches to an offensive coach, and you can't score. So the whole thing raises leadership questions, and you mentioned Russell Wilson as part of that. And certainly management and coaching has come under fire. Elway was one of the guys. He was comfortable in the offensive line room. He palled around with the guys. Russell Wilson's a different kind of a guy. He's not built like a linebacker like Elway, for one thing. He's different. He leads a celebrity life. He's kind of elite that way. He's kind of a bit of a not a smooth, but maybe an awkward guy in some ways, even though he's smooth socially. What about Russell Wilson's leadership? Can he command this team? He didn't seem to lift Seattle in recent years.
Yeah, I think there's a new, you know, flavor, new energy in the Broncos locker room, and a lot of that is due to Russ. Now, of course, you're right. Like the life that Russell Wilson leads in Sierra and, you know, his whole family, it's a whole different life than even the one that Cortland Sutton leads, who's, you know, another very prominent Bronco. So his teammates know that. They recognize that. They know he's, you know, a celebrity as much as he is a football player now, but also they're buying into kind of the tone he's setting, the work ethic he's setting, the standard he's setting. And, of course, there's renewed playoff expectations because of number 3 in orange and blue. So everyone knows that. And I would say, you know, Russell's he's a vocal leader in some respects. You know, you see him, there's footage of him from the last game when he was imploring the defense to call out run or pass. When he was on the sideline, he was, you know, hyping them up like it was a peewee football game. And then, of course, he leads kind of, you know, tacitly and under the cover, under the radar sort of, and follow me, follow my lead, follow my work ethic. And the Broncos are doing that so far. Yes, they are 1-1. They probably should be 2-0. But, Michael, they've kind of viewed these first couple games as almost like warm-up tuner games. You know, they've held a bunch of players out. And now, yes, they had 10 players on the injury list as questionable this week, but The majority of those, I think, will play, including some key ones that they're going to get back. Billy Turner, right tackle, hopefully. Josie Jewell at inside linebacker, making his season debut, coming off a calf injury. And then KJ Hamler and Jerry Jeudy probably playing. And also Pat Surtain, who left the game last week, he's probably going to play too. So Wilson's got all these guys, you know, at his disposal. I think we're going to see a more full-strength Broncos team than we've seen. And it'll be interesting to see how that translates. But, you know, long answer short to your question, I think Russell's leadership, you know, it's rubbed off for sure, even though there's that star factor and definitely that difference in, you know, the lifestyle he leads versus the lifestyle all the rest of his teammates lead.
Great to hear this from so much of that answer from a guy who's with the team every day. Who's covering them on a full-time basis. So let's get into that game and that matchup where you've got a team. You mentioned the injuries, Broncos getting healthy. Broncos been hurt by injuries. 49ers, for this game anyway, are helped by injuries. They're no longer breaking in a rookie quarterback. They've got a guy who can take them to a championship game, maybe even a Super Bowl, if not win it, in Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's a much tougher game than preseason. It looked like it was going to be with Trey Lance and Garoppolo traded. How do you put this one together?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Jimmy G coming in, you got a veteran quarterback all of a sudden, not a rookie guy or a young quarterback going through, you know, growing pains. And it's going to be a very tough matchup for the Broncos if they want to, you know, win this football game. The 49ers got George Kittle back. He has yet to debut this season because of a groin injury, but he will play on Sunday. And Eric Armstead, defensive end, is questionable with a foot injury. So they get one really defensive playmaker back. Another one is questionable. That's good news for the Broncos front and also bad news. But really, it comes down to, can the Broncos stop this 49ers rushing attack? Can the Broncos contain Deebo Samuel, who is obviously a dual threat? And can the Broncos get going offensively? I mean, we've seen Jeudy take over the first game. Receiving-wise, Cortland took over last game. Javonte and Mel have been pretty good 1-2 combo, even if neither of them have gone over the century mark so far. But can the Broncos put it all together and be the offense that, you know, everyone expected them to be? Obviously, first year of Peyton Manning, there were some growing pains here in Denver. Second year was historic. Third year was the Super Bowl championship. But there was no growing pains like what we're seeing right now with first-year head coach Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. So will the communication be better? Will the play calling be better? Can they get in and out of the huddle more, you know, quickly and cohesively? I'm going to be watching for all that because they can't afford, you know, 25 penalties through the first couple games. Team record, by the way. If they come out and put up 12, 13 penalties again, it's going to be a lot of bluebirds at Empower Field, even more than last week when they won against a pretty sad Texans team.
And they should be. And frankly, there should be, because they're booing incompetence and not turning on the home team. They expect better, and they should. What we'll find out if the preseason they didn't have is finally over in Game 3. But this is a team with much, much more talent than the two teams they've played. Give me a score. Who wins?
Give me a score. Oh, man, put me on the spot here, Michael. I'm going to stick with my prediction I made for the paper, and that was Broncos 21, Niners 17. Ooh. I think it's going to be kind of a defensive slugfest the first half or so, but then the second half, we're going to see some gamesmanship. We're going to see some quarterback play. Jimmy G will have his moments. Kittle might have a moment or two. Deebo Samuel will probably be impactful in both the run and pass game, but I think the Denver defense is going to kind of bow up, show what it's made of. I mean, this has been a very good unit, even going back a couple years under Fangio. It's been the strength of the team. So they need to continue to prove that, even with Justin Simmons out. And I think Russell Wilson, the second half, has his first multi-touchdown game with the Broncos. I got him one to Jeudy and one to Sutton. I'll go Sutton on the game winner late in the fourth quarter.
Ooh. Well, encouraging for Bronco fans to hear Surtain and Turner, who I thought was really a key to this team at that right tackle spot. If he plays, sounds like Surtain will play. Great to have an update from you, Kyle. Great job. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.